Good morning. Let's continue in prayer. Lord, we thank you that we can come to worship you, because you alone are worthy. So Lord, as we come, we ask that your Spirit would work here in this place, that your Spirit would work in me and through me and give me the words to speak, and that your Spirit would work in all of our hearts and speak to us the truth of your word. Lord, may the words that come out of my mouth be pleasing and acceptable to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I went to a hockey game, and it felt like church. It wasn't because there were people yelling and cursing, even though sometimes that happens in church. It wasn't because there was fighting, even though that also sometimes happens in church. It was because while there were 10 skaters and 2 goalies on the ice working and doing all the work, there were 20,000 people sitting in the seats, yelling and screaming and just watching them. There was a sentiment that there were two types of people: those who knew what they were doing, those who were qualified and better, and so they were doing it, the ones on the ice playing, and those who weren't as good, so we just simply watched. I don't know about you, but it kind of sounds like church to me sometimes. Most churches that I've been to, there's a handful of people who do most of the work, while the majority of the people watch them work and sweat. I haven't been to a church personally with 20,000 people, but it still felt like church in many ways nonetheless, with this divide of those that do and those that watch. There was a similar divide in the church in Corinth. There were people in the church who thought they were better than others. We see this in the first part of chapter 12. The Holy Spirit had showered down the gifts of the Spirit on the church in Corinth. And some of the people were saying that certain gifts were better than other gifts. That's why Paul says to them in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Paul's reminding them that while they had received different gifts, the gifts all came from the same Spirit. He's reminding them of this because there were some in the church of Corinth that thought that their gift was better than the other gifts. And because of this belief, they were turning into this caste system where they have good gifts, and these people are up here, and those with the not-so-good gifts are kind of down here. And they thought that those who were speaking, who had the gift of speaking in tongues, were better than those who had received other gifts. And it's in this context that Paul addresses the church and speaks of the church as being the body of Christ and uses the example of a physical body. Paul's telling them that the gifts of the Spirit were not to make themselves feel better about themselves, but that the gifts of the Spirit weren't some sort of competition where my gift is better than your gift or your gift is better than my gift, but rather that the gifts were given to build up the body of Christ and to do the work of Christ in this world. That's why verse 7 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good. Common as in everyone. Not so one can boast, not so I can say my gift is better than yours, but for the good of the entire body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are to build up the body of Christ to do God's work in the world. Every believer is given some gift. It's not that some are given gifts and others aren't given gifts, but all are given gifts for the purpose of building the body of Christ. And every gift and every believer has a part to play in that body, in that communion of saints. That's why Paul starts comparing the body of Christ to an actual physical human body. Because as the body of Christ, while we are all part of one body, we all have a different part in that body. Paul says in verse 12, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. We're all in this together. We might be different in the gifts and the abilities that we have, but we are all still part of the same body. And within that body, each of us has a part to play. Every member, Paul's telling us that every member has a responsibility. 1 Corinthians 12:15 to 16 says, "Now if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body." Every part of the body has a part to play. Just like every person in the body of Christ has a part to play. Everyone has a responsibility within the life of the church. It's not up to, "Oh, that person over there, they're so much better than me, they should do it." We all have a different part to play. But we all have a part nonetheless. We are to do more than just punch in and punch out once a week for an hour every Sunday. Every single person here has a contribution that they can make, a gift that they have received. And it's up to us to use those gifts to build up the body and to do the work of Jesus in this world. We all have different gifts. And God put us here together with these various gifts so that we can complement each other. Some are gifted in singing. Others gifted playing instruments. Some are gifted with teaching. Others are gifted with administrative talents. Others with the gift of hospitality, and so on. Some gifts lead to some people being up front. Other gifts lead to people being behind the scenes, like our AV team. Those aren't all the gifts. There's various different types of gifts. Some people just have an ability to bring people together, whether that's through food or whether that's through fun. Some people just have an ability to bring people together. Everybody has a gift, and it's not that those who are up front are more important than those who are behind the scenes. It's just that everybody has different gifts. But it's also that we need all of those different gifts. Just like the foot can't say, excuse itself by saying, "Oh, I'm not a hand, so I can't do my part." We can't excuse ourselves from serving in the church by saying, "Oh, I'm not a good speaker," or, "Oh, I can't sing very well, so I'll let other people do it." The praise team can't say, "Oh, we don't need the AV team. We can do this all on our own." And just like the AV team, I don't think would ever say, "Oh, we don't need the praise team. We'll go up and play the instruments and sing." Everybody has a part to play. Our parts are all different, but we all have a part to play, and we need each other to do our parts. I remember when I was in university, when as part of our Christian fellowship, me and another friend, for whatever reason, we were kind of the face of the fellowship. We were the ones who were always in the front. And everybody knew us. Everybody kind of like tried to get close to us because we were the face. We were the ones in the front. But there was one guy, really quiet, really nice guy, who was in the back. And he took care of everything behind the scenes. He took care of booking the rooms. He took care of like making sure everything was working, booking speakers. He did all the stuff behind the scenes. To most of the people, me and the other guy up front were the important people. To those who were in the group, the important guy was the guy in the back doing all of the work. The group would have survived without me and the other guy up front, but without the guy in the back doing all the work, we would have been in a lot of trouble. Everyone has a part to play. Everyone has a gift that can be used for the body of Christ. And the church is better when everybody uses their gifts as God intended. Not when just a few people are doing it, not when a handful of people are doing everything, but when everybody is involved using their gifts. A pastor once said that his church was filled with willing members. 20% were willing to work, and 80% were willing to let them. Church isn't meant to be a spectator sport. It's not meant to be a place where just the experts, a handful of people do all the work and the rest just watch. It's not meant to be like a professional hockey game. Church is the body of Christ where every one of us has a part to play. And the body of Christ grows and thrives when everyone is doing their part. I may not be able to sing, but maybe I can help out with administration. I might not be a finance person, but maybe I can help bring people together. It's up to each of us to figure out what our gifts are and how we can contribute those gifts to the body of Christ. And when all of us are contributing our gifts, that's when the body of Christ thrives, because all the parts are working together. But when certain parts do all the work and other parts do nothing, that's when we get injured. That's when things fall apart. When parts of our body are working to compensate for other parts of the body that aren't working, that's when we suffer. When 20% are willing to do all the work and 80% are willing to let them, that's when churches often run into problems. The 20% often get overwhelmed with all the work and burn out. Or worse, the 80% start complaining about what the 20% are doing. They criticize every little thing that 20% does versus joining in and helping out. When someone else does the work, it's much easier to critique them. It's much easier to criticize all the things that are wrong or what they think is wrong. But when we're involved in the work, it's much harder to complain. It's much harder to criticize because we're the ones doing the work. What hockey fan hasn't yelled at the team or at their TV watching a game, telling the players to just shoot the puck, skate a little harder, play some defense? My kids used to ask me, "Who are you yelling at, Dad?" The hockey players, they should be listening to me. I don't know why they're not listening to me. But now they've gotten so used to me yelling at the TV that they don't even bother asking. But that's what happens when 20% do the work and the 80% are willing to let them. We start complaining. Oh, they should be doing this. They should be doing that. They should have done it this way. But let's be honest. Do any of the players hear me yelling at them? Pretty sure they don't hear through the TV. Do you think that even if they heard what I was saying, that it would really change their attitude? That they would do what I told them to say? I doubt it. But because we're not the ones playing, it's easy for us to point out every little wrong thing that they're doing. It's easy for us to tell them that what they should be doing. But when we're playing, it's much harder to criticize. It's much harder to point out those mistakes because we're the ones making those mistakes. That's why instead of the 20% doing all the work, all of us need to be involved. Maybe instead of letting the 20% do all the work and complaining, maybe we should all be stepping up as a communion of saints and using the gifts that God has given us, blessed us with for God's glory, to build up the body of Christ, to build up this communion of saints, and to build up God's kingdom. The second thing that Paul tells us is that we need each other. We need each other because we can't do everything on our own. Verse 17 says, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?" God didn't intend us to do everything on our own, nor did God equip us to be able to do everything on our own. Now, I know that's a foreign concept in our Western society. We like to think that we're independent. We can do everything on our own. I can do everything on my own. I don't need help from anybody else. But that's not how the body of Christ was meant to be. As important as the eye is, the eye can only do so much. It can see things, but that's it. It can't touch things. It can't pick it up or move it. Well, then, maybe it's better to be a hand, right? Hands can move stuff. But imagine how hard it would be to be a hand without eyes, to be a hand without an arm. We can't really grab a lot of stuff. Or what if the whole body were an ear? Can you imagine how weird that would look? Not just how weird, but how impractical it would be. You can hear things, but you can't see or smell or touch. You can't talk. You can't say anything. You hear what everybody is saying, but you have to be quiet. Imagine that. Even Pixar realized that being just an eye was scary. In the movie Monsters, Inc., one of their monsters was basically a giant eye, right? He was basically a giant eye. They realized a giant eye is scary enough to be a monster. But even Pixar realized that a giant eye, while scary, still needed a mouth to speak, still needed legs and feet to move around, still needed arms and hands to reach things, that just being a giant eye was not practical. An eye needs the other parts of the body to function. Just like the church needs the other 80% to step up and serve. We're not supposed to do things on our own. We're supposed to do things together. The person who can play piano can't always do the finances. The person who can manage the building can't always welcome everyone. The person who preaches can't sing. Trust me, I know. You don't want me singing. You don't want me up here singing. And that's a good thing we have the praise team. And now we need more people to join before I'm forced to sing. So please join. Thank you, praise team, for sparing everyone and not having me up here singing. You know, I used to wonder why God would call me to be a pastor, yet give me such a horrible singing voice, give me no rhythm, no musical ability. Then one day I realized how much my lack of singing ability makes me rely on others. If I could sing, if I could play an instrument, I realized how easy it would be for me to be like, don't worry, I'll do it. But because I can't sing, because I have no rhythm, I have to rely on others. And I think that was part of God teaching me, one, humility, but two, that we're in this together. I'm not meant to do everything on my own. Praise team's not meant to do everything on their own. AV team's not meant to do everything on their own. We are in this together. God created the church to work as one, for the eye to do its part, while the ears do its part, for the hands to do their part, while the feet do their part. We're not just individual pieces doing our own thing. We are one body with Christ as a head, working together for God's glory and for God's kingdom. And when we work together as one body with Christ as a head, we become so much more than just the sum of our parts. As the communion of saints, we become the body of Christ. With Christ guiding and leading us as the head, we become the body of Christ in this church, in this world. Sticking with hockey, you look at some of the teams and you think, wow, they've got so much talent. They've got some of the best players in the world. They should be a lot better than they are. But then you look at other teams and you think, wow, they hardly have anybody. How come they're so good? Usually the teams with talent that don't do well haven't figured out how to get everyone to contribute. Because they've got a handful of guys who do so well, who do so much, the rest of the team kind of tags along. Yes, Edmonton Oilers and Toronto Maple Leafs, I'm looking at you guys. On the other hand, the teams that overachieve, they're usually the ones where the players play to their strengths and everyone does their part. The scorers don't go around looking to start fights and get into fights because that's not their job. Their job is to score goals. The role players don't go looking to score goals. They go to make sure the star guys are protected. And they go and they hit and they bring energy to the team. And the players use the talents they have to make the team better than the sum of its parts. That's how good teams work. That's how the body of Christ should work. It shouldn't be 20% doing all of the work. It should be everybody doing their part to make the body of Christ that much better as a whole. We need each other in the church. We need each other to be the church, to reflect the body of Christ. I need the AV team to make me sound good and make me look good on screen. I know that's a hard job, but thank you. I need you guys need the praise team so you don't have to hear me sing and scare people away. We need each other. Everyone needs to be willing to do their part and step up. But we also need to be willing to let others do their parts as well. That's sometimes the hardest part for some people in church, People who've been in the church for years often have trouble letting go of things and letting others take over. This is the way it's been for so long. This is the way it should continue to be, even though we've got people who are ready to step up and take over. So not only do we need people to step up and use their gifts, but sometimes we need people to be able to step out of the way so that someone else can step up. Someone once said that the most important statistic in the life of a church is the new folks involved in ministry statistic. The new folks involved in ministry. Meaning, new people stick around in church because they feel like they belong. And a big part of belonging is being involved. But if we're stopping their involvement in the work of the church, maybe there's a reason why so many churches are dying. We've got to encourage people to use the gifts that God has given them to serve in areas where they want to serve. Instead of recruiting everyone for one or two ministries, we need people to serve in various areas, use their gifts to serve and build up the body of Christ. The third thing that Paul tells us is that we need to honor one another. Verse 18 says, "But in fact, God has placed the body, the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them." And verse 21 says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you." This is not just my church. This is the body of Christ. Christ put us here for a reason. Whether you came in through the doors of LGC 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10, 20, 30, even 40 years ago, whether this is the first time you've walked through the doors of this church, God brought us together. You're not here by mistake. God brought you here, and we have to honor the fact that God brought us here. God brought together the people that this particular body needs to be the body of Christ together. As the church, as the body of Christ, we need to honor that people are here because God brought them, and honor them as people made in the image of God. Talents and gifts that each person here brings is exactly what the congregation needs. That's why God brought this body together. Everyone's talents are different. Instead of saying, oh, but that person's so much better at singing, or that person's so much better at hospitality, I'll let them do it. This is where we need to figure out what our gifts are and step up. Use those gifts to honor God. Use those gifts to build up this community. And we need to honor each other in those gifts and those abilities. Every member of the body should be encouraged and appreciated for what they can do within the life of the church. Every member should be encouraged to use their gifts and talents in the life and ministry of the church. There's no contribution, there's no gift that is unimportant or less than another. And there's no member of this body that is insignificant. We can't say, well, I don't need you. You don't sing as well as me. I hope there's no one who sings worse than me. But we can't say, I don't need you. We need each other. But somewhere along the line, somewhere along the way, the church screwed up. I'm not just talking about us. I'm talking about the church as a whole. We screwed up. Sometime over the past 2,000 years or so of the life of the church, things got messed up along the way. Somewhere along the way, we turned church into a spectator sport. We're more than happy to let 20% of the people who are willing to do all the work, do all the work. And we're more than happy to be among the 80% of the people who are willing to let the 20% do the work. But church was never meant to be a spectator sport. Somewhere along the way, it became more and more a spectator sport, where not only do a handful of people do all the work and the rest only come Sunday morning for an hour and go home, but it also became a consumer sport, where we look for churches where we get something, where we get our needs met, where we get fed, where we get what we want. But that's not what church was supposed to be like. That's not what the body of Christ is supposed to be like. A Christian author once said, "The human body does not exist to meet the needs of the hand. The hand exists to meet the needs of the body, and in doing so, it gets its own needs met. The church, the body of Christ, does not exist to meet our needs. We exist to carry out the work of the body, and in doing so, our own needs are met. If you feel like you're not getting your needs met at LGC, maybe it's because you haven't found the place where you can serve and feel like you belong. LGC shouldn't exist to keep this building up and running. LGC shouldn't exist to build up the name of LGC. LGC should be here to be the body of Christ in this neighborhood, in this city, to do the work of the body of Christ in this world. Every single one of us here has a part to play. Not so you can have your needs met and feel like you've been spiritually fed for an hour Sunday morning, but to be the body of Christ in this world, to use the gifts that we've been given, to use the gifts that we've been blessed with, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ into this neighborhood and into this world, to love our neighbors and even our enemies. I don't know exactly what that work is or what form that work will take for every person, but I trust that God has a plan for every single person here to use the gifts that they've been given to build this communion of saints, to build up this body in this neighborhood so that we can do God's work in this neighborhood. But maybe you're sitting there thinking, but there's so many people more talented than me. There's so many people that can do those things better than I can. There's accountants who can do finances better than me. There's people who can sing better than me. There's people who can do PowerPoint better than me. And maybe there are. Maybe there are. Maybe there are people who are better, because there usually is somebody better. And I'll be honest, I had a very similar thought when I was arguing with God about going into ministry. I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. I hate public speaking. And I'll be honest, I'm not very nice. I had a friend who was much better suited for ministry than me, at least that's what I thought. He could play like 5 different instruments. He could sing. He's outgoing. He enjoys public speaking, and he's much nicer than I am. And I would say, God, what about him? Why don't you make him a pastor? Let me go do something else. Make him a pastor. Joshua, I'm not pointing at you over there. I'm just pointing over there. But as I was praying about this, saying, God, what about him? He's so much better suited than I am. He's so much better qualified. Why not make him a pastor? I remember the verse that came to mind in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Those shortcomings, my shortcomings, they're fine, because without those shortcomings, it would have been easy for me to say, hey, look at me. Look at what I can do. I'm great. It's easy for me to do that anyways. So if I could play instruments and sing, it'd be even easier for me to say, hey, look at me. I'm great. But those shortcomings keep me grounded in Christ. They remind me it's not about what I can do, because I can't do a whole lot. There's a lot of things I can't do. It's not about me being able to do things to my ability, but it reminds me to trust that Jesus can do things in me and through me. And it reminds me to not let things go to my head, because it's not me. It's Christ in me. It's Christ in you. So maybe from your perspective, maybe there is someone more qualified to serve than you in that capacity. But maybe that's why Jesus is calling you to serve in that capacity, because he wants to show how great he is through your willingness to serve. Not how great he is because you're amazing and you're perfect for the role, but how great he is through your willingness to serve, through your weaknesses and through your doubts and insecurities. And maybe the sooner we realize that we can't do it on our own, the better off we are, because we realize that's how much we need Jesus. And the more we realize, yes, God has gifted me in this area, but I'm not perfect. I'm not the best. Maybe the sooner we realize that, the sooner we realize we have to rely on Jesus for everything. Because I think the sooner we realize that we need Jesus to do this, I think the better off we all are. Church is not a spectator sport. It was never meant to be a spectator sport. It was never meant to be for 20% to do everything and for 80% to let the 20% do everything. All of us have a part to play. All of us have gifts to contribute. We have to figure out what those gifts are, what part we can play. And I think as we do that, as we step up together and as we come together as a body of Christ to serve Christ, to be His body in this neighborhood and in this world, I think we will be amazed at how well the body functions under Christ when we're willing to let Jesus work. And I think we will be amazed at how much less we complain about what others are doing because we're actually too busy trying to do what Jesus wants us to do. I don't want to go to a hockey game and think, wow, this feels like church. I don't want church to be a spectator sport. I want us working together in the trenches, getting our hands dirty together, getting to know each other because we're getting our hands dirty together, but most of all, serving Jesus because we're getting our hands dirty together. Let us pray. Lord, it's not easy for us to know how to serve you. It's not easy for us to want to serve you sometimes. It's often easier for us to say, oh, that person's better. Oh, that person can do it. I don't need to do it. But Lord, Paul tells us that you've put us here together as your body for a reason. So Lord, help us. Help us to work together as your body, as the communion of saints, to bring glory to you, to serve you in this world, to be your hands and feet in this world, to be your mouthpiece in this world. Lord, for those who are struggling to figure out how they can serve, Lord, we ask for your wisdom, your spirit to lead them and guide them. For those who know that they should serve but are reluctant for whatever reason, Lord, we ask that you would remind them that it's not about whether they can do it, but it's about you working in us and through us. So Lord, would you unite us as one body to work together? Not just English, not just Cantonese, not just Mandarin, but as one body, as your body, to work together for your glory and for your kingdom. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.